Hey, welcome back to the podcast. Before we get started, I want to give you a free gift that I have spent over a decade researching thousands of hours of peer-reviewed studies and interviewing hundreds of world-leading functional medical doctors and cancer conquerors that lays out a blueprint for helping your mind and body become a cancer-fighting fortress for natural cancer prevention and healing. And that's my Amazon number one best-selling book, Becoming Cancer-Free. The physical copy sells for like 10 bucks on Amazon, which, you know, you can go get that if you want, but I'm happy to give you the ebook absolutely free. Just head over to becomingcancerfree.com and you can download that ebook instantly. Again, that's becomingcancerfree.com and it's yours as a gift for me to you for tuning into this podcast. All right, let's get to the show. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I've got two special guests with us here today. We've got Jim Ladwig, who is the VP of Healing 951. And we've got Dr. Devin Stone, who's a naturopathic doctor out of California, who's also a medical advisor for Healing 951. I'm excited to have both of you guys join me on the podcast here. So, thanks for coming, Jim and Dr. Stone.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Excited for today.
So Jim, it's been probably a couple of years, I think, since I last did an interview with you. And I don't think my audience necessarily knows about your story with cancer. Why don't you start there?
Yeah. So I get the, how sometimes your phone is like on this day, so many years ago, I actually got a reminder on my phone yesterday that it's 7 years ago. I was laying in a hospital bed. So I was like, oh man, it just feels like a lifetime ago, but it also feels like yesterday. But
you're like, great reminder, phone. Thanks.
Thanks for reminding me of the trauma. So my journey kind of started with just months and months and months, probably almost a year of just an undiagnosed, gut issues, sickness, weakness, weight loss, and nobody could really figure it out. And what ended up happening, it was missed on a scan. And we later went back and was like, oh my gosh, can't believe we missed that. But I was diagnosed with colon cancer. And the way that it had kind of, formed was blocking my digestion, which led to all kinds of other things, H. pylori and different things that needed to be addressed. And one of my first calls was to Jordan Tedesco. And Jordan's father is Joe Tedesco. He's the founder of Healing 951. I had no idea what they did, what it was about. And so I called Jordan and said, hey, did you say your dad does something with like cancer and helping that? And he goes, oh yeah, let's chat. So he introduced me to Joe, and Joe and Jordan, commenced in a couple of conversations about the product and my situation and how it could help. And so I ended up going in and they had to remove the mass so it wasn't blocking the digestion. But when it came time to have the conversation about, follow up with chemotherapy, radiation, other traditional treatments, I just felt that I was young and that I was, otherwise fairly strong, and, decided that I wanted to try a more natural approach to recovering after that and kind of cleaning up the gut health and things like that. So, it spoke really loudly to me what, Joe Tedesco had developed with Healing 951. And so I decided to get on the product, and I got on like right before my surgery, and then I stayed on for about 100 days, which is our typical, suggestion. And my recovery was pretty fantastic. My doctors were super thrilled. A lot of those gut issues just, started resolving, all these food sensitivities I was having, all the just, tiredness, the brain fog, all the things that kind of come along with that. And then even the surgery recovery, everything was just, it went so well. And I attributed so much of that to Healing 951. Now, granted, I did do, obviously some diet lifestyle changes from what I was doing. I was in a pretty high stress environment, was able to, address that and bring those levels down. So there's certainly more things. And I would never say that, obviously healing's the one thing you should do, but But it was a really big part of my journey. So, you know, as I was recovering, it was probably about, I don't know, a little less than a year later, my doctor was just super thrilled. I was like, hey, I don't really need to see you anymore. Things are going great. Scans are coming back. And so 2 weeks ago, Monday, I had another follow-up scan. Everything's great. No evidence of disease, doing great, feeling great. And, you know, super thankful. So after that, you know, it was a few years later that Jordan and Joe approached me, and my background is in marketing. And so after I'd kind of gone through that, I took a deep dive into health and wellness and really started educating myself and bringing myself up to speed. And then eventually started working here and was brought on to wear 50 different hats in the company. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Congratulations, by the way. 7 years. 7 years ago, you just got the reminder. So, I mean, what you've been doing obviously has been working. What I want to ask you, what was your diet like before diet and stress? What was that like before your diagnosis?
Yeah. So, I mean, my mom was, I always say she's kind of crunchy. You know, my mom is, we were the ones that grew up with the organic blue chips, you know, and all my friends would come over and, you know, we're like, you know, so we certainly, you know, she made a lot of attempts to have clean, you know, low ingredient foods. And I, you know, strayed some, I don't think I was, you know, certainly not into that, you know, full on standard American diet, but definitely, you know, much worse than I was, you know, on the back end of it. You know, now I'm, you know, I watch a lot of what I eat, very, very whole food, single, you know, just the outside of the grocery store type of thing. And, but, you know, I've never been a drinker. I've never been a smoker. I didn't feel like it was crazy bad, honestly, but certainly needed improvement with a lot of my, you know, gut issues and things like that. I think a huge one for me, you know, I was in a really high stress job at the time. It was a contract I was on, and, you know, just a lot of outside influences affected that, whether it was, you know, from a job perspective, a spiritual perspective, I was, you know, struggling with a lot of, you know, stressful things. And so it really did take some intentional effort to, on both fronts, you know, I was very diligent with my diet, certainly a lot more water, cleaner water. That was a big, big, big shift for me. And then also getting, you know, just to where I alleviated a lot of that stress. And,
did you quit your job, or how'd you alleviate the stress?
I didn't quit. I changed the contract. I've had a marketing agency for years. And so I changed the contract. I started traveling less. You know, I was like, hey, you know, this is my wake up call. I need to figure out a different way of doing things.
Smart that you recognize that and that you listened.
Yeah.
People who don't change their stressful environment, things just get worse.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would say for me, you know, it's like you get that kind of wake up call and the money is not worth it. It wasn't, it was less money. Yeah. I get it. Like, you know, and I had to make that cut, but spending time with my kids and family and, yeah, you know, just having a life that's worth living, it made way more sense to me after that kind of a wake up call.
You really begin to value good health when you've been sick. Yeah. And I've gone through that in my own life, where I've been very, very sickly, especially as a teenager growing up, and, you know, almost dead at 17, 18 years old. So I know what it's like to be really sick, to be desolate, to be lost and isolated and angry and really poor health, gut issues, you know, fatigue, tremendous stress.
Have you heard of PEMF therapy for cancer? Well, this podcast is brought to you by Dr. Pollock, and he wants to share with you the groundbreaking research of pulsed electromagnetic field therapy in the treatment of cancer. Studies show PEMF therapy can help control the cancer process and give safe, non-toxic, and non-invasive symptom management. PEMF therapy may enhance other cancer support and treatments, lower inflammation, and promote tissue healing. Studies show it's possible to improve your general well-being and recuperate from surgery, radiation, and chemo better and more quickly. Embrace a comprehensive approach to cancer treatment with PEMF therapy, a vital tool on your path to prevention, treatment, and recovery. For caring and professional guidance and recommendations from Dr. Pollock, go to drpollock.com/intro to cancer. That's drpawluk.com/intro to cancer. You know, with the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I used Maison Beljansky's wellness products. Maison Beljansky's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health. Coming from Europe, the all-natural Beljansky formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Beljansky's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Beljansky has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners. You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan, and you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order 4 products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at maisonbeljansky.com. That's MAISONBELJANSKI, maisonbeljansky.com, and use code Nathan for 15% off. I know what that's like. It's so anyone who's been sick understands, you know, the value of good health. When you feel good, you have energy, you're clear-minded, you know, your body feels good. And generally, people don't think too much about it until they get sick, which is an unfortunate reality of our brains today. And I think more than anything, it's more of our culture. Because if you go to some Eastern cultures, you know, Japan's a great example. I mean, now things have changed, but for many, many years, there are, you know, island cultures and Eastern cultures that have always valued health. And in fact, you know, have always thought of the body as a temple. This is the temple to bring me closer to God. This is the temple to, I have to take care of it because it's housing my soul, is my spiritual vehicle, right? And so they've always taken care of it. And, you know, sickness wasn't even really concerned about because most people were healthy, you know, eating real food, fresh food, lots of fruits and vegetables, lots of, you know, exercising, meditation, spiritual practices, you name it. It's not until the last couple hundred years that we've seen all this explosion of cancer rates and chronic disease epidemic. I mean, I don't have to tell you, Dr. Stone, you see patients every day, right? And so, you know, valuing our health is so important. And I think that's something that our current culture, we really need to instill in our children and in schools and show the value of health and help explain, look, we don't have to wait till we get cancer to actually try and prevent cancer. Let's, you know, by that point, it's too late to prevent it. Now you're diagnosed. Now you got to do something about it. Let's live healthy and eat healthy now so that we can prevent cancer. But I wanted to ask you, Dr. Stone, what are your thoughts on, you know, patients who are being diagnosed with diseases like cancer and as it directly relates to stress, you know, the chronic stress that people are experiencing today in our crazy fast-paced world?
Of course, I think, I mean, just anything emotional related in that aspect, stress or even traumas from the past, whatever that may be, which can elicit as stress in the body, definitely takes a huge toll on a patient. I think that's something that oftentimes in a Western diagnosis is missed quite a bit as well. You see the tumor, you try to eradicate the tumor, go after that, but forget some of these fundamental factors as well, like what is actually happening in the environment, everything from the food to actual the stress levels in your body as well. I think that's something I definitely see with patients all the time from, I mean, any disease, cancer, if it's heart disease, if it's diabetes, when you kind of really take that into play, what's going on around them in terms of their relationships or their job atmosphere, or even within them own selves, their own conversations they're internally having with themselves that causes stress or negative factors in the body. plays a huge role in that. I mean, that's, and sometimes one of the hardest conversations actually as a doctor to have with the patient at that time when you see that there is something really big and foundational in that area that you need to address with them, because it's easier to tell someone, hey, clean up your diet, drink more water. They understand that really quickly. But when the conversation starts to come up, hey, maybe this is actually because of your job, or maybe this is because of your partner that's in your life today. But it's, from my end, it's something that has to be addressed if you do see it as part of the overall picture of what's contributing to disease, and allowing the patient, obviously, to take the most appropriate steps. But sometimes, like I said, that is the hard, a hard part to address for the doctor, but especially the patient, because they're the ones that need to make, obviously, a huge shift. And it's an emotional shift, which can just be a lot more difficult for someone to do.
You know, one of the most important things I've learned over the years in helping many people get and stay healthy is to help them shift their mindset into thinking of themselves as an athlete, no matter their age, whether they just walk 30 minutes a day in the mornings, for example, or they play sports for fun on the weekends, or they go to the gym a couple days a week. No matter what your activity level, if you think of yourself as an athlete, then you start to naturally take better care of your body, focus more on your nutrition, recovery, sleep, other health protocols that optimize your performance as an athlete, and in turn may help you prevent and heal against chronic diseases and help your body be the healthiest that it can possibly be. So if you want to live a long, healthy, vital life and start thinking of yourself as an athlete, head over to plantpoweredathlete.com and get the latest organic plant-powered protein, super clean, nutrient-dense, high-quality plant-powered protein to help you live your healthiest, most vital life. And you can use our discount code Panacea15 for 15% discount off your first order. Again, that's plantpoweredathlete.com. Get some of the plant-powered protein for yourself and start thinking of yourself as an athlete every day and see how it impacts your health for the long term. All right, let's get to the show.
So let's say Jim came to you 7 years ago and you did, you know, full workup on him, and you had an intake form, and you realized, oh my gosh, this job's killing him, right? This job is contributing to his cancer. What would you tell him? What would you tell a patient who, you know, is going through something like Jim was, like millions of people are today, in very stressful jobs that they hate, that they don't enjoy, or a very stressful relationship that they hate or they don't enjoy, or whatever it is, right? Like, what would you actually have said to Jim, or what would you say to your patients?
Totally. Sometimes I like to take the approach to allow the patient to actually figure that out on their own in a little bit more of their own manner. So sometimes even like journaling, if I kind of see that and don't want to right away say, hey, this is your partner doing this, or hey, this is your job, because like I said, that could hit hard at times. And I don't want a patient to leave that meeting like, oh, this doctor wants me to quit my job, that's my finances. Like, that could also detour from the whole treatment plan going forward. So journaling is something I found very productive, where I tell someone every day, just as you feel these emotions coming up, where you're feeling maybe a good day, bad day, write that down, write what was happening during that day. And then when you come back in maybe a month, 2 weeks later, whatever that is, let's review it together. And sometimes that's just a really good tool for people to see, oh, wow, it's, I keep seeing X happen when Y happens, and that correlation just keeps happening over and over again. And then they come to the conclusion like, hey, I'm really seeing this is maybe a big part of this is my job as well, if they didn't see that before. So kind of putting the ball in their court on that side, I think works at least the best for me to get a patient to that end kind of goal of seeing that side of the emotional piece of what could happen with disease.
Yeah. That's super smart. Very, very beneficial.
I do have to say, I wish I had found Dr. Stone back early on my journey. I went through seven doctors to find someone who would actually listen to me. And it took a lot of self-education to get to what he just said. So it would have been nice. It might have fast-tracked me a little bit.
Right? Hindsight's always 20/20, you know? So Jim, what would you have done differently early on? That you learned later on in your journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I look back and I think I made some good decisions. I mean, the one thing that I felt like I did well was be my own advocate. And so I think if anything, it's just really improving, knowing what I know now, improving upon how I would advocate for myself, because I did. I went through seven doctors and I just plowed through them. And I would get anything from, oh, it's just IBS, or I mean, some of them are as bold to say, oh, it's in your head. You know, we're not finding anything wrong, blah, 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 blah. And
Well,
having
it
that,
was in your head, right? It was all the
sure.
stress. But it wasn't just your head, it was in your whole body. That's what stress does. It downregulates your nervous system, it turns off your immune system, it dysregulates your lymphatic system, it dysregulates your hormone system, your endocrine system, right? That's what people don't realize. Stress, even a doctor says all in your head, and you're like, the hell's this guy? I know he doesn't know what he's talking about. I feel something. Right, they don't even know what they're talking about either, but they are on the right track, like kind of in a roundabout way, because literally our thoughts can create disease in the body, right? Our beliefs can create disease in the body, our emotions create disease in the body, just like our thoughts, emotions, and beliefs can create healing in the body. But you, as a patient, knowing that you're feeling these things, knowing that you feel terrible, knowing that you have these physical issues, and then a doctor saying, yeah, there's nothing wrong with you, it's all in your head. Like, that obviously is not the right thing for a doctor to say to you at that time, because you're
Find
like,
a new doctor.
yeah, exactly. You're like, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
And you're right. I mean, because there's certainly, I think a lot of times, when going back to what Devin said, I love his approach to it, because it's there's more to you than just this physical body, right? And addressing the issues that can kind of affect each other with, the mental issues, the stress issues, it's all connected. And that was kind of something I really hadn't considered so much going into it, was how much that was just so connected. And really drilling down and writing things down, I was keeping, as I started, educating myself, I was started keeping, and I wish I'd done it sooner, was a food journal, but also tied to just writing other stuff down, just typical journaling. And kind of associating, like, oh wow, like I would eat this thing and I would feel this way, but then also that was kind of affecting my thoughts, but then my thoughts were also kind of affecting. So seeing that there were certainly patterns, that things that I was consuming or wasn't consuming was affecting how I was feeling and how I was thinking, and then vice versa, how I was thinking was also affecting the things that I was consuming. So understanding that connection was huge for me, and understanding that, honestly, just putting together that it was so connected was really big.
What were the biggest changes that you made in your diet once you found out you had cancer and you went down this kind of rabbit hole of diet and nutrition? And like, what were the big changes that you made as you were, recovering?
For me, I made a lot of changes around, obviously ultra processed foods, really just have really no place, in what I was doing, especially, there's an element of when I was traveling more, it was convenient, and it became quite inconvenient to travel, but I still had to make it work. I mean, you still gotta, pay the mortgage. So, you gotta put food on the table for the kids. And so for me, it really was figuring out how to travel and not have, either ultra processed foods or fast food type of things, and
Wait,
finding what.
are you trying to tell me that Sloppy Joes and Snickers aren't good for you? Is that what you're
Not
saying?
ideal, no.
Huh. That's crazy.
Not
Okay.
ideal. You
I've
can
never
confirm
messed
this, Dr. Stone, but
with
I'm no doctor.
Yeah, let's ask the doctor in the room. I don't know, Jim. I think you're a little off here.
Hold
So
off on that
we don't want Big Sugar coming after us.
comment.
I mean, honestly, so those were some of the biggest changes, were, how do I get more whole foods? How do I get more vegetables? And what I found, honestly, was my best friend was these grocery delivery services. I'd get to my hotel room and I would just have bags of groceries coming in with, like apples and just, things that you're not gonna find at a hotel, that's for sure. And it was just super inconvenient to get. So I would often just prepare my own food. And that was such a huge transition for me, was to figure out, and really it was very inconvenient. It was. And that's just part of the give and take that, living, putting your health first and focusing on health, it's not going to be convenient. I mean, and it's also, from a taste perspective, it's not always going to be the most delicious thing, but it's so worth it in the end to go that extra little effort and start, even if it's just layering things in. And then another big one for me was hydration. I think that was a real significant improvement, was getting good water, clean water, focusing on the types of, water that I'm intaking. So yeah, I mean, those are really big things for me.
The first stop that we make when we travel, my wife and I and our kids, when I travel, very often we travel together, but whether it's myself or us as a family, the first stop we make as soon as we land is a grocery store every time. I mean, it's just become, for years, because it's like, I got focused on eating healthy 15 plus years ago. And so it was like, well, look, there's very few healthy restaurants. There's very few, plant-based. I've been plant-based since, that just about that long as well. And so even back then, there was very few options. And even when we started, we were 100% raw. So it was even more diff way more difficult. If you're totally raw vegan, for example, there were no restaurants. And it was very, you go to a restaurant, they're like, what is this? We have lettuce. Is that good? We're
A tomato, a pickle.
like, we got lettuce and tomato. Does that work for you? No. And half the time they're like, get out of here. You crazy person. Imagine unlocking the power of your immune system with the turn of a key. That's exactly what Better Way Health's beta-glucan offers, a clinically proven cheat code for immune support, now available at a special discount. This unique formula combines the synergistic effects of beta-glucan with vitamin C, resveratrol, and selenium, boosting immune function, energy, mood, and overall performance. It's 8 times more potent than its top competitors. It's vegan, non-GMO, and gluten-free. And our friends at Better Way Health are saying, don't miss this opportunity to shield your health with a product backed by rigorous research and literally thousands of studies. Elevate your wellness journey with Better Way Health's beta-glucan and experience the difference in days, not weeks. Secure your supply today and feel the invincible shield up around your health. Just like countless satisfied customers worldwide, I actually take this beta-glucan myself and I highly recommend it. You can visit nathancrane.com/beta-glucan. That's BETAGLUCAN. nathancrane.com/beta-glucan for a special discount today. One of my good friends and integrative cancer doctors, Michael Karlfeldt, owns the Karlfeldt Center in Meridian, Idaho, and I'm really grateful that their team has sponsored this episode. Dr. Karlfeldt is a globally renowned naturopathic doctor in integrative oncology, and his center pioneers cutting-edge alternative therapies to combat cancer. They offer cutting-edge therapies, including high-dose IVs, ozone therapy, curcumin, mistletoe, photodynamic therapy, and many others within their 17,000 square foot advanced medical and wellness treatment facility. With decades of expertise, they offer comprehensive root cause medicine tailored to support your healing journey. You can begin your transformative experience with a complimentary 15-minute discovery call. You can call them at 208-338-8902 or visit their website at thekarlfeldtcenter.com. Again, that's 208-338-8902 or go to the website, thekarlfeldtcenter.com. Let's talk about Healing 951. I first learned about this revolutionary product while attending a conference on natural cancer treatments. I then later interviewed Jim at Healing Products, and his cancer healing journey with this product truly inspired me. Healing 951 stands out for its profound effects on gut health, inflammation, cellular health, and immune system support. Unlike typical supplements, Healing 951 offers scientifically backed, tangible benefits and an over 30-year track record. Many of my listeners worldwide use Healing 951 not only as part of their cancer recovery, but also for general health and athletic performance. I use it myself as well. I really encourage you to head over to healing951.com/crane
for exclusive deals and free shipping when you use code CRANE. If you're facing serious health challenges, call Healing Products and mention my name. Their team with over 3 decades of expertise is incredibly supportive. Don't wait. Experience the healing difference today. That's healing951.com/crane.
So yeah, that's just been a habit. And like you said, yeah, it may not be convenient, but actually over the years, like it just doesn't bother me because I'm like, I know my health's important. And so I'll do what it takes. That means if I spend an extra hour after I land to go to the grocery store and load up on things that I know that, you know, when we're not able to get to a restaurant or whatever, nowadays, like you can find restaurants in every city that can provide healthy food. Like you have to be able to ask the right questions and, you know, choose selectively from the menu, but everywhere we go, like I can find healthy options. But I still go to the grocery store every single time we travel and get, you know, load up on fruit and some veggies to snack on and some, you know, drinks and stuff like that. That way we always, you know, dates, some organic dates, you know, apples, bananas, blueberries, carrots, you know, celery and hummus, things where it's like, you're not grabbing the potato chips. You're not grabbing the Snickers. You're not grabbing that stuff because when you're out and you're busy and you're hungry, you know, and yeah. It's like, that's the problem you have to watch out for. Busy, hungry, and then stressed out. And that's when you're going to choose really poor food qualities, right? And so it's like you have those healthy food choices around you always because you plan ahead. That's the secret sauce there.
It's just developing a new habit. I mean, exactly. It really is. And once, like you said, you've been doing it long enough. I've been doing it long enough that I'm used to it. You know, I plan for it. It's not a, you know, at first it seemed very inconvenient, but now it's just how you live.
It becomes part of your life. It becomes lifestyle, right? It's like at first you're like, this is terrible. And then after a while you're like, oh, this is normal. It's part of my life. What do you think about diet when it comes to cancer? Dr. Stone, what do you advise your patients on? What are you usually looking for and helping them to change in their diets?
Definitely so. I think that's always a huge foundation too. Like for us as naturopathic doctors, starting with foundations to cure is the way we're trained. So that stress level is definitely a piece, diet, water, exercise, some sleep levels. But with diet, obviously always diving into that for every single patient. What I like to do is always start trying to remove before I'm adding things into their diet. So looking at the areas where they may be adding different items into their dietary day that actually could be contributing to cancer. So definitely the processed foods, the excess sugars, all these preservatives, stuff that maybe has higher pesticide loads, heavy metal type of foods. So really looking at those first and trying to remove them and then starting to build a better dietary plan for them after that point there to kind of show them first, hey, this is actually contributing to your cancer. Let's remove these items from your diet. And now let's start working on foods that we know support your body for fighting and hoping to eradicate cancer down the road as well. So kind of take it typically in a stepwise approach. And then obviously it's always to the patient as well. I mean, there's some patients that I work with, they're like, I just want to go full in. Obviously money is an issue too when it comes to food as well, how you can eat, areas that you live in still. So those type of considerations come into place too to just make sure we could obviously clean up diet, make it the best, but fit the patient in that time and setting to set them up to the most success possible. So I've definitely seen that the hardest. Worked at an area down here in San Diego called La Maestra, which was a California center that was all free based medicine down here. And it was of a lower socioeconomic area there. So that was a lot harder to fully revamp someone's diet. You can't tell someone there, hey, go to Whole Foods, just switch to a fully organic diet, remove this, because it's just not possible in some settings. So there was a big factor of, okay, let's start really definitely removing some of these items that we know are contributing, maybe some of the chips you're grabbing as a snack like we were talking about, or some of the processed foods, and start working with just whole foods in general, just starting to move over to stuff that you still can cook. Obviously there's levels of going up from there, but just switching to a whole food diet is sometimes even just a great place to start with there.
Well, when working with cancer patients, like that's what I find, when we're talking about diet specifically, it's like the first thing people need to understand is the problems with the specific foods that they're eating, right? Like everyone has heard by this point, yeah, eat more whole foods, eat more fresh foods, eat more real foods, eat more plant foods, right? Like everyone's hearing that. But then you get all kinds of confusing information from different people online that say, oh, don't eat plants. They're bad for you. They're going to kill you, which is total nonsense. And then they go, oh, I can't eat plants. And so now there's all this confusion that people are having online. But let's say, generally speaking, anybody who has at least been wanting to learn about health has probably heard of eat more fresh foods, more real foods, less processed sugar, more, plant foods, and so forth. But they still don't see the problem with going to their favorite fast food restaurant and buying that burger and fries and eating it. They still don't see the problem with having that Snickers or candy bar or whatever, once a day. They still don't see the problem with having that big gulp thing of, soda or whatever. They're like, yeah, this is normal. This is part of, why would they sell it to me if it caused disease in my body? Right? So like, what, I mean, what, that's foundational, isn't it? Do you find that with your patients that it's pretty foundational to teach on those core aspects of like, hey, these foods are contributing towards dis-ease in your body, and here's how. And what, I mean, what would you say about that to people who don't see a huge
Definitely. I
problem
think
with that?
that whole education side is the biggest piece possible. I mean, I think that's also why being trained the way I got trained, I love so much, is because it's not just, hey, you have this disease, here's your plan. I got to get on to the next one right now. It's really, yes, talking about and helping diagnose properly, but teaching the ways to actually live a healthier life too. And diet is, like we were saying, a big, big part of that. Like in our clinics that we have, we work with patients throughout the year. We see patients every single month, but then we also have health coaches that they have to meet with. So if it was like a oncology patient I'm working with, yes, going to start talking about, hey, we need to clean up your diet, but then they'll spend another 2 hours with one of our health coaches to dive into these topics, because the education piece is the biggest factor. It's understanding what happens when this food enters your mouth, what it's actually doing to your body, how that's actually contributing to disease. Because without knowing all of those processes fully, it's like what you're saying, not everyone's going to get it right away. It's out there. It's the mass way of eating, actually, is all of these unhealthy foods. It's harder to find healthy foods than these unhealthy ones. So when it's everywhere, it almost seems like we kind of recoined even what is food today, especially children growing up nowadays. Like they've a lot haven't even seen as normal foods as what our grandparents have seen as they were growing up. So even just teaching people what actual food is again, and how that actually contributes to your body versus causing all these inflammatory processes and cancer promoting processes in the body. Once that's really understood, I think that kind of flips a switch a little bit, where it's not just, hey, this is fuel. This is just something to make my stomach feel better, not be hangry for the day here. But it's actually messages to the body that tells it what to do, good or bad. And understanding that, I think, is just a huge piece once that breakthrough kind of happens.
So, can you talk a little bit about those processes for people who don't know? Like, let's say somebody's eating, an ultra-processed candy bar or, a fast food burger and fries and whatever with all the sauces and the, I think something, I saw something with, about Chick-fil-A that like one of their chicken sandwiches has like 20 or 30 something ingredients in it. And it, there's like, should be like 4 or 5 ingredients and there's like some crazy number, 2 or 3 dozen in there. And that's not just Chick-fil-A, that's all fast food, right? All fast food, processed food. So if you can, for people, take a minute and explain, when you're eating that way, those processed foods, processed ultra pro, and let's talk about ultra processed primarily, right? These fast foods, these candy bars, these potato chips, stuff like that. What's happening to the body, and why should they be concerned about it?
Definitely so. So I think it comes down to, especially what you just said, when you look at the list of all of these ingredients on there. I mean, even if you wanted to compare exactly what you said, the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich versus someone maybe making an organic chicken sandwich at home, where it's maybe just chicken, flour, some salt, water, maybe few vegetables on there, lettuce. Then you look at the other side where it's a laundry list of 50 different items on there. And then it really just takes into consideration at that point, what are these 50 other items? Like most people don't even think about that because you grab the food, you don't look at this whole list of ingredients, you just think it's maybe made the same way as what you think it would be. But we take all of these chemicals, once they're in our body, they signal different cellular pathways that could be very negative to the body. I kind of like to tell patients, it's like you think about even maybe a medication that you're taking. It's a small drug, small delivery system. If you look at the back of some of these foods, it's a whole laundry list of different chemicals that are going to signal your body to do different things. And many of the times, these are promoting inflammatory pathways. So this is what contributes, I mean, to all diseases, inflammation in some standpoint, from cancer to diabetic onsets of disease, joint disease, whatever it is, it starts to promote these pro-inflammatory pathways. So what happens? It goes to cells, it goes to your immune system, it starts increasing certain proteins and what we call interleukins and cytokines, which then start signaling your body to say, hey, I'm inflamed, starts attacking itself, and it just starts this whole cascade of a disease process happen. It's not going to happen day one, but day after day, we need to eat every single day, obviously. It keeps cascading on itself. And then ultimately, one of the most foundational reasons why, especially here in the United States, we do have so much chronic disease. I thoroughly contribute to our dietary ways here.
Exactly. That's, I mean, we know that chronic inflammation is one of the underlying core causes of cancer, right? So when we're looking at diet and lifestyle, it's like, what are the things that are going to support the body in reducing the inflammatory processes? And if we do that, then we're going to be starting to address the cause, right? We're going to be getting at the root versus just managing symptoms, which is what most conventional care does, is just look at the symptom and let's see how we can, address that and fight it. Cancer is a symptom. Cancer is not a cause of anything, right? Cancer is a symptom. And the problem with our, the problem that I think that we have with our conventional medical model is we look at cancer as the cause. Oh, this is the problem. We got to get this out of your body. And in some cases, like in your case, Jim, surgery can be very helpful, right? Because if it's blocking your ability to defecate, to release the toxins out through your feces, and it's very painful, like, yeah, surgery could save your life, right? Chemotherapy and radiation could save someone's life in the right circumstances. But in most cancers, from what I've seen, all the research I've done, doctors I've interviewed, the cancer patients we've worked with, it's very often that, hey, if you took a natural approach or a holistic approach, maybe you would actually get a better approach at hitting the root cause of this, which is not the cancer, it's the inflammation, it's the DNA damage, it's the mitochondrial dysfunction, right, that's caused the environment for the cancer to thrive in your body. And so, supplements are a big part of that, diet's a big part of it, stress reduction's a big part of it. You talked a little bit about Healing 951, Jim. That's a product that you've used. I use it personally as a just as a personal supplement, just for overall health and nutrition and prevention. I'll drink it in the mornings, and I use it because I've seen the studies on how beneficial it is in terms of supporting the body, fighting against cancer. And so I know, Dr. Stone, you use it with your patients, right? Jim, you used it in your protocol. You guys want to talk a little bit about Healing 951, what it is? Because I think it's a phenomenal product. I've been recommending it and promoting it for years. I think, yes, it tastes very strong. It's not, a lot of people are turned off by the taste, but I use your guys' mint powder in it, and it's totally fine. It tastes good with that. But when you look at the studies behind it and you look at all the case studies, it's like, to me, it's a no-brainer. If you have cancer or you're trying to prevent cancer, like, it's, to me, it's a no-brainer to have as one of your support systems, in your health protocol. And that's why I tell people, you should always approach health from a holistic perspective: mental, emotional, physical, environmental, relational, and spiritual. If we look at all these areas of our lives and we take care of each one of these areas, then we're going to be on a much better path towards health, happiness, fulfillment in life. And a lot of people I notice will get stuck on the supplements, like, oh, this is a great supplement, it's got a lot of good studies, let me just do this. but they're stressed out. They're eating a Chick-fil-A every single day or processed food or whatever. They're not sleeping well. And it's like, I'm sorry, that's something that by itself, if you're not doing all these other things, like you're not going to get nearly as much benefit if you're actually addressing these other core areas of your life. Would you guys agree?
Oh, definitely. For myself, just having that conversation yesterday, like those foundational pieces, 100% necessary. And sometimes even that may be the cure in its own, just doing that. It's not even needing like the way, once again, we're trained. It's we even see like a supplement being a higher tier of intervention before even working on those. If we could make someone heal by just working on these foundational lifestyle aspects, you could get a lot of movement and a lot of healing done there alone. And oftentimes, if you do need to move up to those supplements, allows the supplements to work even better. Like if you're working on your diet and you're working with even like a supplement like Healin, where you're trying to decrease inflammation, you're trying to go after cancer cells, when the body is at its most vital state, it's going to allow these to even function so much stronger in the body once that gets going there.
I had a one of my doctors is kind of one of the quotes she always tells me, you can't supplement your way to health. It's just so much more than that. It's a, you know, it could be a big part of it, but it's not just I think in the allopathic metal model of healthcare, the idea of just taking a drug and continuing on with your life is somehow permeated into the more wellness industry. And unfortunately, you know, I think a lot of people do. They just want to take something and continue living their life, and this somehow corrects whatever problem we've caused over all these years. And unfortunately, you know, I wish it worked like that, but it just doesn't. And I love Devin's approach or Dr. Stone's approach, because it's so much more. It's, you know, and sometimes these things, I mean, sometimes things can be, you know, dramatically improved just by drinking more water. And it's really something that simple, or exercising more, or just getting out and going for a walk. And that, honestly, that's just the most ideal situation. It's like, oh, geez, I just got to walk more. Great. You know, that's, or I just got to drink more water. Great. But sometimes it does need, you know, something more. That's where we come in.
I mean, totally. And supplements have their place. And I want to come back to talk about Healin in a second, because I want people to know about it. It's such a good product. But I wanted to show this. Can you guys see my screen? All right. So I found the ingredients for the, what is this? We're picking on Chick-fil-A right now, but I mean, this is true for basically every fast food restaurant. The Chick-fil-A Deluxe Sandwich. I stopped eating fast food in San Diego. I think the last fast food restaurant that I ate at was, the heck was it? Like a Jack in the Box. This was probably 2005, 2006. And I ate it one morning and I got sick after it. And I was just like, that's it. No more fast food. Now, I think I ate, so it's not totally true, because I think there was that one fast food restaurant in California that had San Diego, the real famous one with like the hidden menu. What was that called?
In-N-Out, probably.
In-N-Out. So I did eat In-N-Out of like probably 3 times when I lived there over the course of that next year. So I think 2006, 2007 was the last time I ate like a fast food restaurant like this. But look at this. Look at this. Look at all these ingredients in here in one single sandwich. Let's see if I can zoom in for people. Now, to be fair, you know, some of these things like pickles, let's see, you know, pickles includes cucumbers, water, vinegar, salt, like nothing too crazy there, right? They add some calcium chloride and potassium sorbate as preservatives. You know, you could talk one way or the other, are those actually good for you or causing problems? You know, but you look in here, then soy lecithin, like that's super processed. It's very highly processed. Organic soy is incredibly good for you, and we have dozens and dozens of studies proving that. You start to process it down into a soy lecithin or even soybean ex I've seen studies with soy, you know, one of the only studies that we have that actually shows that soy is not, you know, it has a negative effect is it's a soy isolate protein that was done in that study, right? And so the more you process buttered flavored oil, this is literally not even something real. This is an oil that they take a fake flavoring that makes it taste like butter. There's nothing real about this, right? It's soybean oil, palm kernel oil, soy lecithin, natural flavor, which can be one of any thousand ingredients, right? And then beta carotene. Like, this is so highly processed, it's insane. They add in some niacin and thiamine and some vitamins in here because otherwise you would be getting probably nothing healthy at all for you. So they have to add in some of those vitamins to their credit. But you got a malted barley flour. They have an anti-foam agent with dimethyl polysiloxane. I bet you I could find studies on this that show either probable carcinogen or possible carcinogen or endocrine disrupting. I bet you, I mean, I could probably look it up right now and just see. I bet you, because most of the time I'll look up these kinds of ingredients and then I'll go look at studies and I'll see, like, they've already done studies that show that, oh, this highly processed thing as a food additive is, it disrupts your immune, your endocrine system, messes with your hormones. They do rat studies and go, oh, we actually saw a higher increase of cancer. Like, I see that all the time when I look up these kinds of super processed ingredients, right? Like, this is just insane. And this is what people need to realize. This one sandwich, which normally, if you ate this at home, would have zero sugar, by the way, right? Zero, it should have zero sugar, no processed sugar, no added sugar, carbohydrates converting through glucose, or fructose, whatever carbs you're having. That's a healthy sugar in its full form. But look at this. They add sugar to this to make you addicted to it. They add processed ingredients to make you addicted to it. They add processed oils and all kinds of, they call natural flavors. These are not very natural. I promise you, they're not supernatural, especially if they're not organic, right? Pasteurized. Oh, plus it's got MSG. Everybody's now heard of the dangers and problems with MSG and the problems, the neurological potential issues with it. Oh, look, they have more sugar added up here, right? It's like, it's just nonstop. You'll find sugar, yeast. I bet you we can find sugar like four or five times in here. They add it to just about everything. And so when you go and look at the sugar content of, this is a slightly different sandwich. Which one did I look at? The deluxe? Chick-fil-A Deluxe. So let's look at that sugar content. Chick-fil-A Deluxe sandwich. Sugar content, 7 grams of sugar. Look at their popular one up here, the honey pepper pimento. 16 grams of sugar. These are sandwiches which should have zero sugar. Honey pepper grilled filet, 15 grams of sugar. I mean, we know how bad sugar is for cancer, right? I mean, how bad, sugar is for cancer. Cancer thrives on sugar. And when you have a cancer diagnosis, avoiding processed sugar is probably a pretty good idea, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. Those ingredients lists, they get a little overwhelming. It's just best to avoid. If you can't make it in your own kitchen, you might want to rethink it.
Exactly. That's where it comes down to eating, Just eat real food, guys. Just eat real food that comes from the earth. Eat more fruits and vegetables. Eat more legumes and nuts and seeds and berries. Like, if God made it, if it's growing on the planet, if it's something you can grow in your backyard, that's what you should be eating. And if it comes out of a laboratory and filled with all kinds of processed sugar and man-made chemicals, we should probably rethink not eating that. And the habit is just not buying that stuff and finding other things to replace it with, right? If you like the crunch of potato chips, like, try some different kinds of things. Like, I love celery and hummus, or like carrots and hummus, or like a salsa fresca with something. You get that crunch from the carrots or from kind of fresh cucumber or from bell peppers. Oh my gosh, we buy these little sweet bell peppers and eat those with like hummus or salsa fresca or an avocado dip. It's amazing. You start to retrain your palate, and then those foods that you didn't think tasted good, once you stop eating the highly processed, highly sugar foods and eat more of the real foods, your taste buds go back to the way they're supposed to be, which is those foods actually start tasting amazing, don't they?
Yeah, it's a shift.
So we talked about soy. You know, there's I've talked about soy so many times in my community because there's so much misinformation. Avoid soy. Soy is bad for you. Soy causes cancer. Soy increases estrogen, et cetera, which you and I know that's nonsense. But can you talk a little bit about soy? Because I know that's one of the core ingredients. That is the main ingredient in the Healing 951 product, which your cancer patients use every day, and somehow they see incredible benefits from it.
Yeah, it's wild. I come from a background where I was very anti-soy. I came from that camp, and I have books on my shelf back here that are demonizing soy and going through all the, you know, things. And so it was some unlearning in on my quest of why I should avoid soy. I ended up becoming kind of pro-soy and understanding what's really happening and kind of the process of how it got demonized and how it got a bad name. And really, you know, there are some aspects of it, like you mentioned. You got these highly processed soybean oils and the soy protein isolates and things that really have no business. You know, it's you're but at that point you're so far beyond what soy really is, that it doesn't have a kind of a place in the conversation because they're not great. And so what we're doing is a lot of people don't understand. So soy beans, there's over 2,000 different varieties of soy. And so not all of those soybeans are created equal. Some are grown for crayons and some are grown for highly processed soybean oil. Some are grown for cow feed. So understanding what the different species of soy are, what their phytonutrient profile is, how they're grown is a really big deal. And one of the problems we do run into here in the US, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners understand this, is that there's one main company out there that has a patent on a genetically modified soy that is very invasive and cross-pollinates with anything around it, and then turns that into it's soy. So about 95% of the soy produced in the US is kind of can be problematic, and it's really grown for that speed growing and that you know, things like I said, like crayons and even, you know, fuel and things like that. So understanding that where the soy is coming from, because in its pure state, in its original state, man, it is an awesome plant. It's a complete protein. Your amino acid profile is quite robust. It has things like you talked about, the phytonutrient like genistein is a phytoestrogen, very misunderstood for years. Now, holy cow, the benefits that people are seeing and the studies coming out in the last just 5, 6, 7, 8 years on genistein with anything from cancer to menopause to inflammation to, you know, just so many different things that it helps to regulate the estrogens in the body. It's not promoting these skyrocketing estrogen levels like they originally thought. It's really helping to balance and regulate. It's a they call SERM, a selective estrogen receptor modulator. And you know, just that's just one of the many. You know, there's the protease inhibitors, there's the phytosterols, which if you listen to the word phytosterol, sounds a lot like cholesterol. It's the plant version, which has kind of given soy its reputation, you know, in the cholesterol space and helping to regulate that. So the benefits are just fantastic when you get the right species and it's grown correctly, you're growing organically, and then to take those benefits to the next level. Really, fermentation is just an absolute must. I mean, the fermentation process is great. So that's where you see, you know, cultures that have a rich heritage with soy. It's not a natto, and you know, fermentation with that nattokinase enzyme, and it's things like tempeh and you know, fermented tofus and even fermented soybean drinks are things that are very commonplace. One, to help preserve it and to maintain the value, but then also to increase its ability to affect the body in a good way, that bioavailability, the way that those nutrients are processed, and then even how some of them you actually change the chemical structure in the fermentation to where you're creating new fermentation metabolites and things that are just wildly beneficial. And so that's kind of where, you know, our product started, was seeing those benefits of soy, and we kind of take that to a whole new level, you know, from a soy perspective, which, you know, I'm sure we can get into, but I don't know if there's anything on soy too. Dr. Stone's really, you know, been a great resource for us in understanding and kind of educating folks on some of the misconceptions of soy that have crept in over the years, but then some amazing benefits.
And I'll just piggyback off that real quick. Just like both of you, I was also in the camp of soy is bad for quite some time. Like even through medical school, I had professors, you'd hear on both sides. Some would absolutely love it, some would not. And I think it just also comes down just to that education piece, because when Helan reached out to me the first time to talk about what we're doing today and me helping their company, it was just a company that I really fell in love with quickly. I do a lot on social media, so you're always getting these brands asking you to do things, and not really something I'm usually very interested in doing. But once I pulled up their products, saw the studies that they did, saw what they were doing in the oncology space, which is something kind of dear to my heart there, it really just gravitated towards me. And then once that kind of started, I was like, okay, if they're getting all of these amazing results and publications, like I want to find out everything about soy to make sure I could speak on this the proper way going forward, because there's obviously something deeper to this. And that's what really struck me, is when you go into the studies, I mean, there's almost nothing but just positivity coming on almost every single study, and just even so much more to come. Because the nice part is, like what Jim was saying, this product is the whole plant and fermented. It's not that isolate like soy lecithin that we were looking at earlier, which within that, there's so many constituents within this plant that we know some of the mechanisms, we know what it's doing, but there's probably hundreds and hundreds of more that still need to be studied to figure out what all of these benefits potentially can be for someone. And that's something I'm very looking forward to here in the future as well, is also looking at different ways Helan could adapt into other patients' lives as well, because I think there's just so many benefits across many diseases there. But I think it really comes down to first understanding really what soy is, good soy versus bad soy, and then what it's really doing in your body there to see how this could be truly a food as medicine source.
Yeah, when we recommend soy to anyone, it's always number one, you know, USDA certified organic. I always, you know, if you're going to do soy, because like you said, most of it's genetically modified, most of it's heavily sprayed with, you know, toxic herbicides. And so you want to make sure it's USDA certified organic, number one. And then number two, as close to whole source as possible, right? And then fermented is like an additional benefit, because you just get those, you know, extra benefits as you talked about from fermentation. I mean, look at the healthiest people on the planet. I mean, look at, you know, people from China and Japan that go back thousands of years who've eaten soy, right? Soy's been a major staple crop. Protein source, amino acid source, you know, vitamin and nutrient, fiber source, especially in its fermented form, but not to mention in tofu, you know, and tempeh is another good fermented form. You know, tofu is generally just soybean, some kind of calcium binder usually, and water. Like that's it. That's about as processed as you want to get with something. You know, they're not adding lots of man-made chemicals and junk additives and things like that to it. And so, you know, now we have, I mean, we have these populations of people who've eaten soy for thousands of years and have been very healthy with it without massive cancer rates until recently, until the, you know, Western diet has been exported and imported into these countries where they have all this ultra processed food and fast food. Then you see, you know, and all the toxins and heavy metals and so forth and stress, and then you see cancer rates skyrocket. But before then, like people, you know, millions of people eating soy for many, many years, why didn't everybody have cancer, right? Why didn't men turn into women? And why didn't, you know what I mean? It's like, it obviously hasn't happened because, and when you look at the studies, it makes sense why. Because number one, phytoestrogens in something like soy or plants have up to 1/1,000,000th of the effect of a human estrogen molecule. So like, even if you get, you know, if you had a human estrogen molecule, or you took a, you know, where they make synthetic estrogen from yams, for example, right? The phytoestrogen in plants has somewhere between 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 1,000,000th of the effect. So people think, I've heard these doctors, these carnivore doctors online talk about how, oh, don't eat soy, it's so bad for you. It has 10 times or 100 times the amount of estrogen that beef has for you. And it's like if you compare the effect on the estrogen, it actually has 100 times less of the effect the soy does than the amount of estrogen that you would get from beef, for example, because of its impact in the estrogen receptors in the body. It also attaches to the beta receptor, right, Jim and Dr. Stone, you guys know this, so that it helps prevent excess it can help prevent excess estrogen, especially from xenoestrogens, right, plastics and things like that, from entering into our endocrine system, entering into our estrogen receptors, which is what you want. You want less xenoestrogens and processed estrogens and estrogenic mimicking like molecules from the environment entering into your system, because those will throw your endocrine system out of whack. Whereas you're getting these healthy phytoestrogens in tiny doses, even if you're eating a lot of it. I eat soy literally every single day. I haven't grown breasts yet. It's been like,
I'll say you look pretty manly.
been eating. I don't know. I mean, some people might differ. I don't know. It's been like 15 years, I think I've been eating soy, and nothing's happened yet. I'll tell you what. And my wife's been happy for the most part. So, but even then, it's not like, a single case study doesn't really matter that much. And yes, I test my testosterone and all of that, and that's all great and normal. So the reality is, though, there are a lot of studies that show that increase or, of these, especially fermented soy. I've seen some of these studies. Even on Gila 951 has studies, right, where we see a positive benefit with estrogen-related cancers, breast cancer, prostate cancer, for example. And then you add in, this kind of product, and you actually see benefit from it. So if it was causing the cancer, then why would that cancer, start to go away when you add in something like this? It's clear. The research is there. There's lots of it. It's just people just don't know it. So it's important that we have this conversation so people realize, right? Organic, USDA certified, fermented, it doesn't have to be fermented, but fermented does give you those extra benefits. And then, don't be afraid of it, right? It's like realize that it is a nutritional powerhouse for your body.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big understanding how, especially with like just something as simple as the phytoestrogens. And, there were originally back in the late 90s, some into the early 2000s, there were some studies that came out that had some poor parameters and really were super misleading. And a lot of those have been duplicated and kind of, debunked, if you will, and really shown the exact opposite effect of what they were thinking. And like you said, with that alpha versus the beta receptor is improving that ratio. Not only does it help, with just general overall estrogen levels and blocking the xenoestrogens, like you talked about with classic, but it's such an important factor when considering estrogen-driven cancers, particularly, breast, ovarian, and for men, prostate, all just such an important thing. And, we get, beyond the kind of cancer thing, we get a lot of women going through menopause. And that, I mean, to help with those symptoms, the hot flashes, things like that, just a little bit every day. I mean, it's pretty significant the results that they're seeing to improve sleep and just the things that kind of come along with that transition in life and help balancing it out. And what you see is like back in the 60s, 70s, even into the 80s, it was so commonplace that, women would just turn to soy to help regulate that. And then in the late 90s, it just kind of got this really bad rap and people were not doing it. But now we're seeing, really in the last, 6, 7, 8 years, this resurgence of, wait, maybe that wasn't so bad. Maybe we were onto something back there and we just kind of messed it up a little bit. And now we're coming back to it. And
That's how it
so
usually goes. That's how it usually goes, right?
yeah.
Somebody.
We've been doing this for over 30 years. So our company's kind of seen all the ups and downs, and we've just like, hey, what we're doing is working. So
That's awesome. Well, I wanted to show this, and then I know we've got to wrap up. We've got a few minutes left, but I pulled up a study on one of the food additive emulsifiers that's in that Chick-fil-A sandwich, by the way. So it's called DATEM, DATEM, right? That sounds like it grows from some kind of tree, yeah? Or a plant from the ground. Doesn't that sound like a berry bush or something, or some kind of
The all
vegetable?
capital letters is throwing me off, Nathan. I don't know where we're going with this.
Are you sure? I don't know. It sounds like, maybe it's a date. Maybe it's a special kind of date
Maybe.
from California, right? And I mean, this is just one that I found so far. I could probably find more if I dug in the BMJ. And they found that increased, specifically this one, the DATEM stands for like this really long name that I can't pronounce. But higher intakes of it were associated with higher risks of all outcomes for cardiovascular disease. So, from cerebrovascular disease to a higher risk of cardiovascular disease, it was all associated with higher risk of cardiovascular disease and coronary heart disease. And this was a pretty decent study. This was a prospective cohort study, recent in 2023, right? And so, I'm not showing this study to claim that, oh, if you eat Chick-fil-A, you're going to have heart disease, right? I'm not making that claim. But just point being is that number one, we don't know what we don't know about processed foods. And it takes years. It takes years and people who are interested and people with money and a good heart generally to even think about doing these studies to figure out, are they truly safe? Because the problem in this country is you don't necessarily have to prove safety. Not with vaccines, not with food additives, not with chemicals that go inside your shampoos and soaps, not even with things, supplements are highly regulated, of course, unfortunately, but not even with pharmaceuticals. And here's the reason why. You don't have to prove true safety, which is why chemicals get passed all the time, and then we don't find out till years later, and thousands of people die. Vioxx is a great example, right? And a lot of these studies get lied upon too, and they lie about them, and then they also, do short-term studies. 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. Oh yeah, we didn't see any major adverse effects. Yeah, what happens when you take that chemical, that additive, every single day or 4 or 5 days a week for 10 years, 20 years? Plus, you have it mixed with this chemical and this additive, and then this chemical and this additive. Now you have a soup. A toxic soup of man-made chemicals and additives that are going on your skin and in your body every single day for years. What do you think is going to happen? Well, then we find out, oh, this one disrupts hormones, or this one is probable carcinogen, or all right. So then they remove that one, and then they come out with the next one, and they make a bunch of money off of that for 10, 15 years. And then they find out, oh, that's not a good one, right? That one's causing problems. So it's so much easier just to be like, let's eat real food. Let's eat whole food. Let's eat, organic soy. Let's eat, organic fruits and vegetables as much as possible. Let's eat real foods and nutrition. If it's going to be supplements, they are, whole food based supplements. Helium 951 is a good example. Where it's real foods without a bunch of, fake additives. And the odds are you're going to be much better off than otherwise. So I just wanted to share that, and any kind of closing thoughts you guys want to share, and then where can people get in touch with both of you, and yeah, go from there.
Just a couple of real thoughts. I was just thinking about, we've talked a lot about soy and the benefits of soy, but I think, one thing is kind of to just draw light to what we're doing beyond just good soy. So we've seen that, even adding dietary soy is great, organic and, fermented is being great, but what we're doing is taking it to a whole new level. And, we love when people try it. One thing that there's two things that people talk about when they talk about healing is kind of the objections, if you will, is one, it doesn't taste good. And, that's one thing that, like you mentioned before, it's got a strong taste. And, when you look at the cost of it, you can think, oh, wow, this is soy. Why does it cost this price? And so, differentiating kind of what we're doing, we're growing in Mongolia at elevation, and we're hand harvesting 50 pounds of soy to make one bottle. So it's quite a different process than just a machine harvest you know, high production of soy that you would think
You
is like,
said
oh, soy is so cheap.
50 pounds of soy to make one. I didn't even know that. 50 pounds of soy to
Yeah.
make one bottle.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, you think of, you know, what it takes to make maybe it's 20 pounds. Hold on, I could be wrong. I think it's 20 pounds. I think I said it wrong, but basically it's essentially equivalent to about a 5 gallon bucket. You think of a 5 gallon
Okay.
of raw soy,
Yeah, that's
that's what it
20.
takes to ferment down to one. So maybe it's 20 pounds.
20, 25, 25 pounds, maybe
Probably
five
about 25 pounds.
gallon.
Yeah.
That's still a lot of, I mean, that's a
That's still a
lot.
lot.
So you're
Yeah.
fermenting that down into a single bottle, right? I usually do
Yeah.
when I do a, when I'm taking it, I'll usually do like a half a bottle at a time. I know a good maintenance dose is generally like a quarter bottle a day, something like that. It
Or even
depends
an
on.
ounce. Yeah, 1 ounce. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but I'll usually do like a half bottle at a time, and then but yeah, so that's, I mean, that's, you're talking about super concentration of all of the, you know, anti-cancer benefits in a single drink. So yeah, that makes sense. That's like eating 20 pounds of tofu, you know, versus just a couple ounces of the drink.
Yeah,
Yeah.
just taking a little shot of healing. And one of the things too that's a little bit different that we're doing is it's not the typical fermentation like you would see, you know, you would do, you know, your like lacto fermentation. We're doing a nitrogen fermentation, and that nitrogen is a really effective delivery system for those specific compounds. One of them being the isoflavin genistein that we talked about is having a delivery mechanism because, you know, in the past when you've looked at genistein in these studies, you've got to take so much to see a benefit. Like what we're seeing, because the delivery mechanism that we're using is so effective and it really can just assimilate right into your body super quickly. It can affect those cells really quickly. And so, you know, what we're doing, we've really refined this process down over the years. And I mentioned before, we've been doing this over 30 years now, and the product has really stood the test of time with not only, you know, the various studies, the results, but really, you know, just that day in, day out, like you said, that maintenance, general health. We have so many people who are just, they love it. The inflammation, the, you know, the gut health, those day-to-day things at just an ounce a day is pretty fantastic. And then, you know, obviously you have a more serious health condition. You know, you're going to be taking more of it. And like you mentioned before, to get a hold of us, we love a phone call. You know, give us a phone call. Every situation's different. You might catch me on the phone personally. Would love to chat about the situation that you have and how, you know, what we've seen over the years might apply. And or you can visit us at Helan951. That's HEALAN951.com. Tons of information there. It's a really good resource, not only for this general soy education, but also for our product specifically.
Well, yeah, when I've shared it with people, definitely I hear that concern of, oh, this is super expensive. How can I afford this? And I talk to people. I'm like, well, what's your focus on your treatment? Like, what are you focusing on? Where are you spending your energy? Where are you spending your money? You know, what's important to you? I mean, a single round of chemotherapy, you know, can cost you $100,000 for, you know, a single series of a, you know, chemotherapy that runs you 3 months, maybe, for example, right? Like you're doing however many doses in there, like that can be $100,000, right? Especially, and then a lot of people's insurance isn't going to cover it. Maybe you're paying $10,000 for that. Maybe you're, I mean, bankruptcy from healthcare bills is, you know, healthcare in this country is number one reason for bankruptcy. It's insane, right? And did that actually help you heal? And so I don't know. I have to tell people, like, number one, yes, your finances are a main concern. You have to think about it. We all do, right? We all have bills to pay. And at the same time, it's like, where is your money being spent? And can you reallocate it based on what your main focus is? If your main focus is to heal and you're trying to do it naturally, well, then think about what that means for you in terms of, you know, what's your health worth. I remember when I started eating organic, like, I was barely making enough money to pay the rent, but I still made a priority to buy organic for my family because I realized how important it was. And I didn't know how I was going to pay the rent every month, but I still bought organic every single month. We still grocery stores, like, we're buying organic because my health, my wife and I and our newborn daughter at the time, it was like, that was super important, you know? And so it's just like, what are your priorities and what's important to you and what is money really mean if you're dead anyway? Like, you know, that's the reality. You have to look at these things and go, and people go, well, yeah, well, where does it actually work and all of that? Well, go check it out. Look at the studies, talk to their team, talk, you know, look at the case studies. I mean, obviously there's no guarantees that anything, there's no oncologist that can guarantee, and you can speak to this, Dr. Stone, there's no doctor in the world that can guarantee whatever they're gonna do is gonna reverse whatever disease you have. Nobody can. But you gotta do what you feel is the right thing to do. And for you, you know, but you got to get educated and see what's actually working for people, and then make an educated decision from there. So, yeah, I get it.
I had one more thing, Nathan.
It seems expensive, but it is a very high quality, highly impactful, you know, food is basically food, you know, highly concentrated, you know, medicinal food for your body. So you have to take that into consideration too.
Yeah. I had one thing I meant to bring this up. I had a late one of your listeners actually emailed me yesterday, and I know we had talked about this before. It's like, and you know, finding somebody supposed to just, it was perfect timing. She's, you know, 79 years old. I have the email here. Her name's Janine, and she had a particularly, according to her oncologist, a particularly harsh chemo that they were recommending. And she was, you know, she got on our product. She did a lot of research on her own. And found us and was just super thrilled with the lack of side effects. And that's what a lot of folks are using our product in conjunction with their, you know, traditional treatments. And she's doing really well. She just was sent me an email, was super excited. She's like, no heart damage, no liver damage, no kidney damage. I've maintained energy. Wow. You know, they're watching me super close, but I'm just so excited. I think this is making a huge, you know, difference. So anyways, I thought I'd share that with you. And came from one of your listeners who heard our ad on there.
That's good. I love to hear it. I mean, we're helping people and that's what we do. And I only recommend things that I've, as you know, highly vetted, highly researched and personally used myself, which is why it's like, I will talk about this all day long and recommend it to people. I'm just looking at your website in terms of like recommendations, where like general health, 1/2 to 1 ounce daily, one bottle would give you 8 to 16 servings.
Mm-hmm.
Intermediate support, 2 to 4 ounces daily. So a bottle would give you 2 to 4 serving, like daily servings. So one bottle could last you, you know, a couple of weeks. If you're looking for general health, if you're looking for intermediate support, bottle could last you a few days, and then advanced support, you know, 4 ounces twice daily, that's going to give you 2 daily servings. So advanced support, you're looking at a bottle lasting you a couple of days, right?
One day.
Yeah. A bottle a day.
Yeah, you're doing about a bottle a day for maybe 100 days or so.
Yeah. For 100 days is what you kind of recommend people to start with to see how it works for them.
Yeah. I mean, usually get to that 3 month mark. And a lot of times then it's, you know, things are going well, you start tapering down. Maybe then the next month you do have a half a bottle, you know, like 2 ounces in the morning, 2 ounces at night. And then you just kind of taper down, like, you know, then you're kind of back into that general health maintenance type of thing, 1 ounce a day.
Dr. Stone, is there any reason you would recommend someone not to take Healing 951 or any fermented soy for that matter?
Honestly, I have not come across that yet. There's definitely theories out there, definitely people with soy allergies, I would be a little cautious. I know the company's never heard of a true soy allergy directed towards their product. So that's a nice outcome still just on the doctor side. Whenever you hear allergy, raises a red flag. So you just want to be extra cautious in that direction there. There's the other side too of this being a potential goitrogen. Soy has also always been classified as that, meaning that it could affect the thyroid gland. We do see though with like the fermentation process and the way it's breaking down some of the constituents, it really doesn't affect the thyroid gland as much as some other goitrogens that are out there. So for me, it's also then in those type of cases too, like any treatment that we're doing, always weighing the pros and cons to the patient is what's the most efficacious things we could do to get the best outcomes and best health goals. And I'm yet to have a person that I would not have said, hey, you should try this out. And that goes to many patients, from oncology patients to cardiovascular patients to even people like yourself, athletes that I work with that or just using it to decrease inflammation. I just see so much benefit from, I mean, the medicinal side from it, but even the fact like what it is, it's a true whole food too, even an awesome just protein source for someone to ingest on a daily basis. So I'm very open with it for many of my patients, but those are kind of the two areas. Definitely still take case by case and make sure work them up to make sure it's the best treatment plan, but still have always kind of mentioned it in the long run once it's gotten through their whole case there.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I would highly recommend for anyone getting some, make sure you get this sweet mint flavoring. It's a little scooper. You pour it. What I do, so here's what I do, Jim. I don't know if I've even told you this. I'll take like a normal size water glass. I don't know what that is, like 16 ounces or something. I'll fill it half with water. And then I'll fill whatever dosage of the healing that I'm going to put in there. So, like I said, usually when I'm kind of cycling on, like I'll cycle on and off healing. So, like right now I'm on it. I'll do like a half bottle at a time. But even if I did I was doing quarter bottle for a while as well. So put that in quarter or half, whatever, into the water, and then I'll do a scoop of this sweet mint flavoring, this mint powder, which is super simple. I like it because it's like, it's organic lucuma, organic peppermint, basically monk fruit extract, and some vegetable fiber. It's super simple, but it gives it a much better flavor. And then I don't have, you know, if you drink it by itself, it's very strong. You do get used to it if you drink it for a while, but if you drink it with this mint powder, it's like so much better. It's like night and day. I can drink it all day long with the mint powder mixed with water, and it. You know, stir it up, boom, chug it down, no problem. So, people trying it for the first time, get the mint powder. You'll be happy that you
It helps.
did. Awesome, guys. So, healing951.com is the website. And, Dr. Stone, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best place for them to? I mean, you got a clinic there in California. Where can they get in touch with you as well?
Definitely, yeah, and I'm more than happy to discuss these two. This product is part of your treatment plan, and if it is a perfect fit for you as well. Our practice is We Are Tulsi, WEARETULSI. Definitely set up a consultation to talk more about healing as well.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, you know, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening, but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. And it's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, you know, for me, the soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort, it cares about evolution. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also a time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.